We're supposed to start at 9 o'clock. Let me apologize for starting late. All right, let me check if you all have the copy of the agenda for this meeting. If you don't have, please indicate by show of hand so that we can provide you with one. The Honorable Deputy Minister and the gentlemen to the back that need the agenda. Okay, in terms of the agenda, we are on, move faster so that we can start. All right. Shall we close our eyes and observe a moment of silence for prayer or meditation? Thank you. I'd like to greet the honorable members, but also to greet the deputy minister and the delegation from both the Department of Transport and PRASA. And I would also like to greet the staff and all our guests. In terms of public participation, everyone is welcome from the general public, and we really appreciate your interest in our work, and I hope you enjoy the meeting. I wish to welcome you all to this very important meeting, wherein we will receive a briefing from the Department of Transport on its fourth quarter financial and non-financial performance for the 2016-17 financial year. The primary objective in the mandate of the committee, as provided for in the Money Bills Act, is to ascertain whether the spending patterns, I repeat, the spending patterns of departments are in line with voted budgets and tabled strategic plans and annual performance plans. As we engage on this, on the presentation, the committee wishes to gain clarity not only for MPs here but for all taxpaying South Africans who wish to see that their taxpayer funds are spent in accordance with the principles of equity, efficiency and effectiveness as envisioned in the Constitution. Now, critical is to ensure that there is progress on the medium-term strategic framework, because we see that we are now left with only 18 months, and indeed we have to fast track or come up with an accelerated plan so that we can achieve on the goals that we set ourselves at the beginning of the MTSF period, which is government strategic plan for the 2014 to 2019 electoral term. Millions of citizens depend on the effectiveness of the work of the Department of Transport and all its entities. The MTSF accepts that improvements in the public transport will also contribute to narrowing the special divisions by making it quicker, safer, and more affordable for people to access work opportunities. So we want to see the impact of the funds that we approve as Parliament, the impact of the funds that we approve as Parliament. So let us have a fruitful engagement on this very important briefing, and I'm looking forward to a constructive and a meaningful engagement. Thank you very much. You are all welcome, and please feel free. Let's make this meeting our meeting so that we all achieve on the objective of the meeting. Help us to make an impact in our work, but also we will also help you to make an impact in your work. you very much. We will then move on to apologies.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. We have a number of apologies today. One is from Honourable Manana, who's off sick, and Honourable Sheikh Imam, who will be joining late. And a standing apology from Mr. Mania, who's an alternate. He's with the Standing Committee on Finance.
There's also a standing apology from Honourable Manana. Did you mention it? Oh, sorry. Okay, honourable members. Yes, honourable member Snukwanyani.
Thank you,
honourable
Shoppers
Tore. Could you please
switch on your honourable Shoppers Tore said she's running late, so she'll be joining the meeting.
Okay. No, that's fine. So there are the apologies, honourable members.
Thank you, ma'am. I just wanted to say I will need to leave at 10 to 1. I have another meeting that starts at 1. That's the Ethics Committee. Thank you.
Okay. So there are the apologies. Do you accept the apologies?
Yes, Chairperson. Apologies accepted.
Apology accepted and you second. Thank you very much. The apologies have been accepted. Maybe I should also check if there are apologies from the department.
We have the apology from the Honourable Minister who's attending the Cabinet Committee.
Can you please speak loud so the members can hear?
We have an apology from the Honourable the Minister of Transport, Minister Joma Sangai, who's attending the Cabinet Committee.
Okay. No, that's fine. We know that today is the Cabinet Day, so the Honourable Minister is attending a Cabinet Committee. So I take it that the honourable members, the honourable ministers' apologies are accepted. Okay. Thank you very much. Shall we then? I think it should be important that we introduce ourselves so that we know exactly who is in this house, and then we'll then proceed with the presentation. Well, I'll start with myself. My name, I'm commonly known as Bingi, but my official name is Yvonne Khosa. I'm the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Appropriation. This side? Honourable Member Gobaza?
I'm Ndaba Gobaza, whip of the committee.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. Alan McLaughlin. I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Doreen Senogayani, member of the committee.
Thank you. I will then request the, we'll come this side.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Cindy Chikunga. I'm Deputy Minister. I'm Peter to correct the minister attending Cabinet meeting, not Cabinet Committee.
Oh, Cabinet meeting. Okay.
Cabinet meeting.
Thank you for the correction.
Morning. My name is Collins Lizal. I'm the CFO of the Department of Transport.
Thank you, Collins.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members. Matabata Mukonyam. The acting Director General of this department.
The acting?
Director General.
Director General. Okay. Please. I hope this is the last acting that we hear of in this department. All right. Shall we then move until the end, and then we will then start again with the officials in this department.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. I am Temba Denzo, Chief Director for Research and Innovation.
Thank you.
Morning, Honourable Chairperson and members. I'm Randan Makado. I'm the Chief Audit Executive of the Department of Transport.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Homuli Musi, opposing Assistant PLO in the Ministry of Transport.
You
were
so fast for me. Can you please repeat and then speak a little bit louder?
I'm Homuli Musi, opposing Assistant PLO in the Ministry of Transport.
Okay.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Godfrey Maluleke, Chief Director, Rail Oversight.
Thank you.
My lady, Samantha Boy, I'm Audit Committee Member.
Audit Department. Audit Chairperson, Audit Committee Member.
Morning, Chair, and morning, honorable members. My name is my official name, to take the cue from the Chair, Sipodi Bagwan, from the Department of Transport, Office of the DG. Thank you.
Chair and honorable members, Anna Marie Liber from PRASA. I'm the Senior Manager Business Performance, or as you know, it's Monitoring and Evaluation. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Lindikaya Zide. I'm the acting Group CEO of PRASA.
The acting?
Group CEO of PRASA.
Okay, CEO, okay. That's fine. Let's come this side then, and then we, once we get at the end there, we'll come over here. Can we proceed?
Greetings, Chairperson and honorable members. My official name is Musa Zanusa. I'm a representative of the community.
Morning, Chair and honorables. My name is Alex Nemakonde, PLO Transport.
Morning, Chair and members. Advocate Alma Nell, Content Advisor for the Portfolio Committee on Transport.
Morning, honorable Chairperson and members. My official name as well. I'm a researcher for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Morning, Chair. Morning, everybody. My name is Christopher and I'm representing a company called 7F. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Chair. Morning, committee. Morning, everybody. My name is Sinead. I work for Ground Up, a news agency in Cape Town.
I am DJ Winterbach from CNG.
Thank you, sir. Okay, let's start at the back there. Yeah.
Morning, Chair. My name is Tim McKeele Plaki, Parliamentary Liaison, National Treasury.
Okay.
Morning, Honourable Chair. James Archer, National Treasury, Public Finance.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and members. My name is Yvonne Page. I'm the Acting Group CFO from PRASA. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Rashid Zaman. I'm the Chief Audit Executive for PRASA.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and guests. My name is Darren Adams. I'm one of the committee secretaries for Standing Committee on Appropriations. Thank you.
Okay, fine.
Good morning, Zandile Halley, committee secretary.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues. My name is Tsepo Masweu, advisor to the committee. Thank you.
I'm going to invite you to feel free, and please let's all participate fully, without fears. What's important is that we achieve the objective of the meeting. Thanks. All right, we will then move on to item number, actually now number four, presentation by the Department of Transport and the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa. Now, before you start, I'm not sure if you have ever appeared before the Standing Committee on Appropriations before. Okay, no, that's fine. All right. Well, I wanted to explain why you are here, because a lot of committees are new, you know. PRASA were here, yes. Now, I'm talking about PRASA, but the department, okay, for the first time, okay. I'll tell you why you are here, so that you understand why you've been called. Our role after passing the appropriation is to follow the money. Remember, we recommend for the adoption of the appropriation after scrutinizing it and agreeing on it as the right one to assist government to implement its programs. And thereafter, we then follow the money. We scrutinize the quarterly reports that are submitted to us by National Treasury on a quarterly basis. It's expenditure reports that are submitted to us on a quarterly basis. Now, National Treasury submits
these national departments quarterly expenditure reports for all the departments. I'm talking 40 departments. So what we will then do with the researchers, we will then scrutinize the expenditure report, and we would then identify and prioritize those that we think warrant our attention in terms of their expenditure patterns. So you happen to be one of those. So that's why today you are appearing before us. But thank you for coming. Thank you for coming, Deputy Minister. So we will then hand over to the Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister, our understanding is that the DG accounts to the Minister, and the Minister accounts to the Parliament. So we will then hand over to you, maybe to present to us, but if you deem it fit to delegate, well, it's up to you. So we will then hand over to you to present to the committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members of the Standing Committee on Appropriation. I think it is proper that we first welcome the invitation by the committee, and we acknowledge the fact that your mandate is derived from the Constitution itself to hold the executive accountable as members of Parliament, and we respect that very much. PRASA, Chairperson, is one of our state-owned companies that report direct to the Department of Transport, and that is why we are here together with the senior management of the department, but of course the senior executive management of PRASA itself, so that we are able to give account to yourselves in terms of how we are spending the monies that indeed were appropriated by Parliament this year. In fact, this year, we will request Chairperson, that the acting DG leads the presentation. If he wants to delegate that, he will do it, but he will definitely lead the presentation to yourself, and we'll then be ready to answer questions. Thank you very much. Over to you, acting DG.
Over to you, acting DG, sorry.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Indeed, I'm acting DG, but my substantive position is that of the DG Public Transport in the department. Chair, Honourable Deputy Minister and the members and colleagues, We received the invite, and then the invite was very clear. But it firstly said the department that is entities, but I think we did engage, and then we clarified that we can bring along PRASA. We have prepared like we normally do. Now that chair's clarified, we'll try to, as we present, align or confine ourselves to the expectations of the committee. And probably that's the reason why you have more than 20 slides, whereas you request less than 20 slides. So we'll move very, very quickly on the non-financial information and then get to the issues that talk to the expenditure. And probably this is where then the committee might be able to check us against what is reported by the National Treasury. And then PRASA itself will do the presentation on their own. We will then do that of the department, and then PRASA will follow us. In terms of the non-financial information or the presentation itself, it includes two parts, which is the non-financial information as I've indicated, and then the financial information. We will talk to the overall performance, and then we'll do some analysis, and then we'll then just talk to how the quarter looks like. All of those will move very, very quickly. And then we will spend some time on some areas of non-achievement, because that's where we would then have to explain ourselves why we did not achieve. And then what will follow then will be the financial information. Chair, the planned targets for the quarter We have 51 tigers all in all, but for that quarter, we had 48, we achieved 36, and then 12 were not achieved. I'll explain further, because I'll then have to slightly touch onto the annual target, because the overall annual target is slightly much better than the 75% for the fourth quarter. We actually let the annual target audited. We are at 92%. We have seven programs in terms of the budget. We've got administration, integrated transport planning, rail, roads, civil aviation, maritime, and public transport. And in terms of quarter four, and that's a comparison per quarter, but in terms of quarter four, like I indicated, we were at 75. There were two that were at 50%, which is maritime and public transport, and will indicate how we then caught up in these two areas to come to the 92 annual. And that is just the nominal, the previous one was per percentage and cooperatives. That is the nominal. You would see that in public transport in particular, there were six, and then we achieved three and then could not achieve on three, and then in maritime there were four, we achieved two and we could not achieve the other two. Although there was catch-up annually, maritime is at 100, and then in public transport is at 100, Chair. Pretty much move very, very, very swiftly on the details and focus more on the important ones that perhaps would want the attention of the chairperson. Administration has achieved all its targets, so I will skip it a bit and then start to talk to the core business of the department. We have what we call the National Transport Master Plan 2015 Net Map. It was finalized, approved by Cabinet, and it is now an official document of the department. The white paper on the transport policy, the processes and the work that we're supposed to do in the fourth quarter, which was to submit it to Cabinet. We bought a submission to Cabinet on this matter. The road safety strategy not only has it been submitted, but it has now been approved. The Harrisburg Hub, in terms of the implementation plan and the work that we were supposed to do, we have done it. But we can indicate on this one that we then had a plan from the province that talked more to the bypass, which is now the work that we've given over to the program. The road tariff determination framework has been finalized and completed. The grid transport strategy has been submitted and also approved by Cabinet. The National Rail Bill has also been subsequently been approved to go out on public comment. The draft economic regulations for the rail sector have been finalized. And then the branch line model also done. The draft is now ready. The railway safety regulator bill, which seeks to talk to the issues around the rail safety, but also restructuring of RSR, has been submitted to Cabinet and approved to proceed forward, for us to proceed forward. The white paper on roads policy, in terms of the fourth quarter, we did achieve what we were supposed to achieve. We can safely say that the minister subsequently approved this to be resubmitted to Cabinet. We also have a massive program in terms of job creation and the maintenance of roads, which is called Sahamba Soga or the PRMG grant. Basically, there we transfer around 10 billion to provinces, and then We then monitor and then produce quarterly reports. So this also was successfully done. And then the access road development plan, those consultations were held in the fourth quarter. The ARTO bill has been in Parliament for some time. We can indicate to the committee that this bill has now been finalized by the Portfolio Committee. It's now to the SCOP because it's a Section 76 bill. And then the RAP bill also has been submitted to Cabinet, and Cabinet has approved that it can proceed to Parliament. The Road Safety Strategy of South Africa has been finalized, submitted, but also approved as a final strategy of the country by Cabinet. And then we have done an inception report on the funding legislation for the road entities. We basically want to see if there are areas of duplication where we can consolidate but also rationalize for purposes of restructuring our SOEs. Not only in roads, but this is the roads part, but we're doing it across the department, across all the trans entities of the department. And then this is the issues around the inspection of the dangerous goods as part of our work. The ATNS and the amendment bill, as well as the ACSA, the Airports Company Amendment Bills, have been approved and have been submitted to Parliament. The National Civil Aviation Police has also been approved for further consultation. The NADP, which is the National Airport Development Plan, was submitted to Cabinet. Cabinet has given us some work, has given us instructions to do some work on this. But the first quarter target was achieved. The additional work is to factor in the security element within the NADP. And then we, from time to time, we enter and review bilateral air services agreements with countries that we do business or reciprocity in terms of air traffic and air transport, and those are the two that we have achieved in the fourth quarter. And then consultations on the amendment bill for the rationalization of the Air Services Licensing Act. For purposes of seeing whether we can merge the international and the domestic, was submitted to Cabinet. The Civil Aviation Amendment Bill has been approved by Cabinet on its way to S, and also submitted to Cabinet, not on its way to Cabinet. An exception report in terms of the cost pass. Medium orbit search and rescue, or the MIOSA, as we know it, has been developed and finalized. In terms of maritime transport, we are proud to announce that we now have an approved maritime transport policy for the country. We are busy with ways to implement it. It has been approved and also launched by the department recently. The inland waterway strategy has been submitted and approved by Cabinet. We are on course in terms of the preparations for the hosting of the IMO World Maritime Parallel Day event in 2020. This is one of the flagship projects in the department. And in terms of public transport, Chair, we we have developed an IPTN for the district municipality, a district municipality, and then we also have finalized the turnaround plan. As this is the one document that is on its way to cabinet, we are also returned back to do some further work on it. And then the safety improvement plan was approved by the department. It's an internal document. The following areas are the areas where we have not achieved for the fourth quarter. But as I was explaining, in so far as the others are concerned, I will indicate those that have now since been finalized. Like the transport sector, gender empowerment policy is now approved. It was not achieved in the fourth quarter in terms of presenting it to our own internal processes. And then the status report on the sector on socioeconomic empowerment program for GDYC. This has also since been achieved, Chairperson. The stakeholder input in terms of the development of the market access strategy for South Africa has since been achieved. It was not the quota target has not happened at the time we were reporting. The railway, the national railway policy, this is the one that is slightly behind because of the laborious and extended consultation. Chairperson, even the annual target has been slightly missed on this one. And so is the national railway safety strategy because it has to just follow the policy, the development of the policy. And then the testing, vehicle testing centers that were supposed to be visited, 120 was the target, only 75 were not met at the end of the fourth quarter. And the other, in terms of catching up, has since been achieved, and so are the DLTCs. Chair, the mission shipping bill in terms of what we're supposed to do in terms of stakeholder, at the time of reporting, it was not done, but we now have a document and have people on board to see this work going forward. And then the infrastructure support for operations like this, that is the structure, organogram, and how we are dealing with matters of operations like this and the ocean's economy has since happened and been done. The rural transport strategy, which was supposed to be submitted, was delayed because of our own processes. It has since been submitted and approved by Cabinet. The tertiary recapitalization review report has been slightly delayed, but it's on its way to Cabinet in terms of the annual target. Chair, we are supposed to be doing selected municipalities out of the 13, a couple of them, and do progress meetings and bilaterals per quarter. We can safely say that the quarter target was not achieved, but the overall annual target, insofar as this is concerned, has been achieved. So we will give the CFO to just run us through a few slides, very, very few, on the expenditures and the areas of under expenditure and over expenditure per program.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Mine is just to show the expenditure per program, expenditure per economic classification, what happens to the transfers and the conditional grants. The expenditure per program indicates that the amount that has been spent on administration is 100%. The only area that has not spent according to the budget is about 81%, which is civil aviation. We have got a bit of understanding on maritime, was about 98%. And we see that road transport is overspent by about 1%, which is about 176 million, mainly due to inertis. You'd see that the amount of 27.6 million was shifted across the program to cover that, and some amount of 1.5 million also shifted to missionary equipment across the program to defray excess expenditure in the program. Integrated public integrated transport planning, about 1.9 million shifted to road transport, as I said, to reduce unauthorized expenditure of inertis. Rail transport is about 7.9 million that has been shifted out of that program to also cover under and over expenditures in other programs. Road transport, as I said, the program has overspent 177 million as a result of unfunded mandate maintaining and operating costs of the inertis, mainly because of the court order that forced the department to pay that amount which was not budgeted for. Civil aviation, an earmarked amount of about 47.8 million for the upgrade of the satellite tracking system, and 2 million of compensation of employees in that regard was underspent. Maritime transport, under expenditure of 2.8 million was as a result of earmarked amount of the tugboat feasibility study. Just to make it clear to the committee, because of the cash accounting measure that that we are doing, modified cash, what you would see is that money that have been actually spent, in a sense that from an accrual basis we have been spent, but when the invoices have not been presented, will be seen here as an underspending in general. So an amount of 35.5 million was also shifted to cover over expenditure cost of oil pollution projects and the sums are debt of about 20 million. Public transport under expenditure of about 7 million, mainly due to the review of the capitalization model and the delays in other projects in goods and services. A total of 98.3 million was shifted to other programs to cover over expenditure and mainly that is roads in the maritime transport area. Expenditure for economic classification. 91% spent on compensation of employees, mainly because of the discussions we are having with Treasurer about reprioritizing our budget. We received money in 1 year and not the other, so we couldn't go and hire people during that process, so we engaged with the Treasurer on that matter. Goods and services, we have overspent, mainly due to inertis. Transfer and subsidies have all effectively been transferred at 100%. The machinery and equipment is at 99% and payment for the financial assets has the expenditure is available. So there is about 100% spending on average on the department budget, but it's about 117 million overspent on our appropriation. As I've already alluded to the fact of 39 million mainly to change that was the result of once of additional funding for filling of critical posts. So we are given money in 1 year and not others, but Chair would understand that once you hire somebody, that person must be paid throughout the MTF, so that's what has delayed us in terms of filling of those posts. As I said, goods and services, 134 million due to inertis. Transfer and subsidies is about 52 million approved for transfer of ATNS for implementation of the South African migration to what we call the COSPAS, SASAT, Medium Altitude Earth Orbit, which is MIOSA, the satellite system within the same program. One of the most important slides is the one on the transfers. We transferred close to about 98% of our budget to different agencies, including provinces. Under conditional grants, we transfer money to the provincial road maintenance grant, which is going to provinces. We have transferred 100%. Public transport operations grants, what is usually called bus subsidies, 100% has been transferred. On the bus transport network, which is PTNG, also about 5.5 billion has been transferred, it's 100%. And the rural road asset management grant as well, which is 100%, has also been transferred. To public operations, one of the public operations we have is Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, where 18.8 billion has been transferred, which is 100% of their grant. The next one are departmental agencies and accounts, SANRAL being the bigger one, about 13.9 billion that has been transferred. Road Traffic Management Corporation, 100%. The next big one would be the South African Road, I think it's a safety regulator. It's 65 million that has been transferred, so the rest has been transferred. It's only about 95% that has been transferred to the CETA as well. The smaller grants, the taxi scraping, to the taxi scraping agency of about 359 million has been transferred, and you'd see that international organizations, about 180% has been spent, which is just a bit above what we have been budgeting for, and the leave and pay has also increased. That happens when people leave the department. We budgeted for a lower amount, but it has increased, and that's why you see the spend being quite above what we have spent so far. The performance of the provincial road maintenance grant, it's about 100% that has been spent, has been transferred. Free State, the same. KwaZulu-Natal is only 87% that has been transferred to them, and the expenditure of 87%. You see Northwest as well at 87% as well. We do withhold some of the payment of these grants when there is no performance from specific provinces, and that is the case in this case of the two provinces. Bus subsidies, which is a public transport operations grant, 100% throughout, only in Northwest where 98% has been transferred. Which is going to be transferred in the next year. The public transport network grant, PTNG, the one that we transferred to municipalities. Here, Chair, you would see that much more of these monies are less than 100%, mainly because of the financial years of municipalities being different from our financial year. So when we start to transfer to them, we start in their financial year, which is around July, and we end up on the other side of the financial year as well. So you see that the likes of Buffalo City is the one that is a concern for us. Only 6% of that has been transferred. You see that Msunduzi, only 50% has been transferred in this area. And George, also 51% has been transferred. So it's something that we are working on to ensure that they spend all their money in this regard. That would be my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I wanted to find out to do it then. Pass the photos all the way stop here.
Okay, honorable members. Shall we receive all the presentations and then engage in a discussion on all the presentations? Agreed? Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Deputy Minister and honourable members of the committee, we have submitted the presentation as requested, and the content of our presentation would deal with the expenditure of 2016-17, and in that regard we would focus on the operational expenditure and the capital expenditure, the performance information 2016-17. The service delivery contribution, AGSA findings, risk and opportunities, and other matters as per the request that was sent to us. Chair, the expenditure for 2016, particularly the operational expenditure, we had budgeted 3.5 billion to recover as revenue. And of course, we only collected 2.3. The income under budget, therefore, was under budget by 4% as a result of fair revenue that was down by 33%. And in relation to 2015-16, the income was 1% down, with fair revenue 14% down. The expenditure in the period has been in excess of revenue, and the significant changes in the costs were attributed to insurance claims and premiums as a consequence of, as I go through the slides, the accidents that we had in the period. The cost of the leases on buses as a consequence of some of the services that we have had to offer additional when we have breakdowns, the legal fees, the new rolling stock, the maintenance there at 93 million for the period December to March. December 2016 to March 2017. The operational expenditure that we have, Chair, is not only the operational expenditure for our services, but it also covers protection and maintenance of the current investment underway. The expenditure for 2016-17 in terms of capital, we have listed in the slide the programs or the projects of capital expenditure, but underspending on these projects have been as a consequence of us not concluding the procurement phases related to our modernization program, particularly the depot modernization, the 120 kilometer pairway and station modernization projects that have not been achieved. Contracts under review have also impacted our spend on capital, consequence to the various investigations. There were certain contracts that were declared irregular, and work had to be stopped in terms of those contracts. Of course, Chair, we have accepted as an organization that we need integrated planning for the whole group so that we can then plan better, and the issues of procurement can be done within the turnaround times that we would have set ourselves to achieve. There has been a slower spending due to delays in issues of contracts management on rolling stock fleet renewal. In that regard, we had planned to deploy the new trains in a particular route or corridor, but of course, because of the delays in procurements, we then had to put a new and an alternative plan where we had initially had hoped to deploy in a particular corridor, but for reasons that we had had delays, we then had to take the alternative, and those that had an impact on the spending on our rolling stock. The signaling replacement program, equally contractual issues between our suppliers in KZN and here in Cape Town necessitated that the spending gets to be delayed whilst we resolve the contractual issues. Depot modernization, I did indicate to the Chair that to the extent that there were delays in the procurement process, we then had to delay the spending on one of the depots that were primed to do in the financial year. With, in respect of overspending, we have spent more on the refurbishment of MLPS coaches, which is mainline passenger services, which is the Shosholoza Maize, because additional coaches were done, and as the additional coaches were done, there was a difference in the fleet mix, and some coaches costed more than the others that were planned. The performance information, Chair, just as a background, we have highlighted the trends of our performance over the period. And we also have highlighted the entities that are within PRASA and reflected their performance. It is telling, Chair, that the issues between rail and our bus services, we have a challenge there. And of course, we are attending to the challenges that are plaguing those services. Our strategic priorities for the 16-17 period were informed by us accepting that we'll divide the objectives into three distinct areas. Running the business and so forth, running the business, changing the business, securing the business, and of course when you're running the business, we emphasize that to ensure that we get the basics right. The performance for 16-17 period, insofar as running the business, we had key performance indicators, including the customer satisfaction rating for PRASA, particularly the passenger entities, Metro Rail, Shosholoza Mail, and Autopex. And of course, we have put the targets in terms of the range. And as we discuss, Chair, we will explain what we have done in terms of the range targeting. But of course, we highlight the results. Of importance, Chair, is that insofar as the passenger entities are concerned, we have not met the targets, except the one target where the refurbishment of coaches was achieved. There are, of course, reasons which we will take through in the presentation further down. Shosholoza May performed and achieved all its targets. Insofar as passenger injuries and fatalities per million passengers, this is where we have not fared well as a consequence of four accidents that we have had in the year. Of the four accidents, one was a derailment in KZN where we had eight fatalities, injuries, and then the other accidents were in KZN where again we had 161 injuries as a consequence of a head-on collision that had happened there. And then in Kalfontein, we also had an accident there. We had about 242 injuries, and one last accident was in Roslyn, where we had 212. And the impact of that has indicated that insofar as we are focusing on ensuring that we bring down the number of these accidents, we have not achieved that. Public injuries and fatalities per million passengers, these are mostly people that are struck by train and trespassing on our network. Again, we have managed there to bring that number within the range. The crime incidents reported on Trasa assets, Chair, I think in many an instance, particularly in the Western Cape, we've seen that there has been a number of our coaches and assets that have been vandalized. In instances, arson has been impacting on those assets. Of course, equally, the incidents that we classify them as crimes that are visited upon our passengers on the trains, they equally are outside of the range. The Autopex long distance passengers as well have submitted complaints in terms of our departure times, and those have an impact on the service that is received by our passengers. When we look at the objectives of changing the business, and this is where our capital program is mostly spent, insofar as the deployment of the new trains, the service was delivered, albeit later than the anticipated time, and it is partially achieved in the sense that we have not fully ran the service. We started to run the service off-peak. We are currently running the service even on peak. But at the time of the report for the quarter, that was the situation. The train sets that have been delivered, the range of the target was for us to deliver 11 to 13. We've delivered 11. On the signal interlocking, we had targeted to deliver between 11 and 14, and we've delivered 7. The stations to be modernized, we had targeted to deliver about 2. We had delivered and completed 1 station. Depot modernization, this is where, Chair, we are falling behind, and we are making the necessary interventions in terms of ensuring that we catch up. But of course, there was partial delivery in that the depots that were intended to deliver, we then delivered on the alternative depot of Walmerton. On the track upgrade project for the 120 kilometer pairway, the tenders have been completed, and they are in the process of implementation. But we had hoped that we would have delivered that. Station improvements, we had targeted 45 to 50, and we completed 45 within the range. Station upgrade projects for service excellence and revenue generation, we had targeted 12 to 15 in the range. Here we have delivered 16, which is slightly above the target. Workplace improvement projects, we have targeted 16 to 20, and we have delivered 17. Insofar as securing the future and issues of railway extensions and integration, we have signed we have set ourselves a target to ensure that we sign two agreements. At the time of the report of the end of the quarter, one draft agreement has been submitted and it has been signed. The spending on our projects insofar as they impact black women owned companies, we have targeted that we would spend between 1.1 billion and 1.2 billion. We have spent 1.1 billion. The increase on Autopets commuter passengers over the MTF period. In this regard, Autopets has ventured into commuter business, particularly in Gauteng. The target that they had set was 2 million to 2.4 bus commuters. They achieved 1.8. The increase in the gross lettable area, insofar as we commercialize lettable space in our stations, we had had a target of 3,000 square meters to 6,000, and we had the achievement of 6,761 square meters. We had intended to have partnerships with the private sector for them to invest in our stations. In this regard, we had set ourselves a target of commencing construction on two key developments, which is Cape Town and Umgeni. Of course, when we made the assumptions, the factoring of external risks and planning for positive outcomes have really had an impact on this one. We are currently engaging with Tegwini. We do know that there are issues that we still need to sort out before we can even commence with the construction, but the plans are in discussion. Insofar as the issues of audit, we had an unqualified audit for the 15-16. The target for 16-17 is equally to achieve an unqualified audit report. And I'm sure at the right time we would then report on whether we would have achieved that. We have highlighted, Chair, the reasons for non-performance on APP. In respect of Metro Rail, we have an high number of operational and safety incidents. The rolling stock failures and the availability, the infrastructure availability, and its attendant failures where our assets are vandalized. Service closures, as we roll out the infrastructure programs, we are ensuring that in certain sections of our corridors we reduce the speed. And in certain instances, we close the network, and that has an impact on the service that we deliver. In KZN, we have been hit by inclement weather where the whole network would be washed away, and that has an impact on the services that we deliver there. Vandalism and arson, as I had indicated, Chair, has an impact on the availability of train. The more the trains are burnt, are vandalized, the more we are unable to render the services that are required. For instance, here in the Western Cape, we should be running 88 sets of trains. We currently are running 61 sets as a consequence of about 323 coaches or so that have been bent just in the period of the last quarter. On MLPS, Chair, in as much as MLPS is running, we do have a shortage of locomotives, and I'm sure, Chair, you would have an appreciation that the locals that we had acquired for the services of MLPS had to be subjected to litigation. The issues of litigation on the locomotives is still currently underway. Autopex, Chair, we have highlighted the issues there, that there are a number of vehicles that are off the road as a consequence of us having ventured into commuter service and resulting in us having lower capacity buses for use, particularly in high capacity routes and especially during peak. The commuter service where Autopex has ventured into is a service that is not financially viable. And of course, there are discussions that are underway that culminate in us having to exit that. And of course, we are in discussions in this regard with the shareholder. I've indicated, Chair, that the projects that have been delayed are as a consequence of, particularly on signaling, the contractual issues that we dealt with, and the issue of depot modernization, which we had earmarked that Bramfontein would have been on swing in the period of 1617. Of course, Chair, as a consequence of some of these contracts that would have been declared irregular, we have had to experience shortages of components, components such as wheels, rotary machines, as well as rail equipment. Of course, in this regard, Chair, we have not accepted that we can't do anything. We have had engagements with Transnet, and currently we have contracts that we have entered into with them to ensure that we address the shortage of components. Our contribution to the NDP is precisely, Chair, our mandate to ensure that we deliver the service that is required to transport the people of South Africa. And in this regard, we are doing our level best. Of course, the challenges are there. And some of the challenges that we then have experienced, Chair, in the 2016-17 financial year, we have taken them into the corporate plan of 17-18, and some of the issues are highlighted in slides 13 and 14 on what we are going to do to address the issues of the main challenges that we have highlighted in the 16-17 financial year. Insofar as the issues of the turnaround, those are issues of the current financial year, and I'm not going to get into them. Insofar as the AGSA findings and the remedial actions that are there, Chair, the irregular expenditure, we need to emphasize the point here that prior year irregularities will reflect over the MTF until those are closed. Chair, you would know that the PP's report, when it was issued, it had remedial actions that directed the company, which is us, PRASA, to submit all contracts that were above 10 million between the period, or at least those contracts that were entered into between the period 2012 and 2014. National Treasury has given us a prelim report, and they have identified contracts that might have a challenge to the tune of 3.7 billion. And we are in the process of making our own submissions on some of the issues that have been reported by Treasury, and as such, is submitted today, and they will come back, and hopefully some of the contracts that they have made findings on them might be taken off from their list. The irregular expenditure that was declared for 2015-16 was at 14.6 billion. We have a breakdown of this, Chair, and we have indicated that in the main, That expenditure was relating to the GOs, and again, the irregular expenditure that we have in 16-17 of 2.9 billion. 1.7 billion of that is the expenditure that has been declared in the previous financial year. We are working with Treasury to ensure that this issue of the GOs is attended, and as a consequence, at the time when the AG audited us, there were certain documents that they had wanted, and we have tried to ensure that we get all those documents, and we are in constant engagement with them, and we are hoping that we might find each other, and we might then take away the issue of that irregular expenditure that has been declared. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and previously, as I had indicated, Chair, that in the 15-16 financial year, the Shopwambo locomotives contract took a significant portion of the irregular expenditure that was declared there. The court has set aside the Shopwambo contract, and of course the defendant has lodged an appeal. One of the other huge contracts, Chair, is the contract of Siangena, and equally it is a contract that is within court. We have made an accrual of 1.2 billion as the costs that are outstanding on this contract. There is also interest that is being claimed, and those are issues that are going to be dealt with as we finalize the issue of litigation on this Yangena matter. And insofar as the remedial actions on our part as PRASA, various of the findings that have been issued by the AG were in the areas of SCM, HCM and ICT. We have already started to deal with those areas that the AG has highlighted. SCM, we have reviewed and revised our policy. We have ensured that in all the SCM processes, there is probity that is instituted. The tender committees appointed in terms of your BSC, BEC, and BAC, they are in place, and we are working tirelessly, Chair, to ensure that the proper and adequate training is offered. Insofar as HCM is concerned, the reality there, Chair, is that we have to work on our organizational structure and redesign it. The number of findings in HCM can only be resolved once you deal with the root cause of those, which in the main is your organizational structure redesign. And once that is done, it will enhance operations, governance, and efficiencies. And when you put the right controls, they will then have the right effect. But as of now, we have and we are in the process of ensuring that we get the right assistance to ensure that we place the organization in the best way of delivering. The risks and the opportunities, the issue of the funding structure and the funding model and the operational model is an issue that we have raised as risks that are high on our agenda. As a consequence of that, we also have the safety and security. And I think the submission which we have even shared with the shareholder when the shareholder visited us in the last week or two, that we are, as a consequence of our system being open and the attendant issues of trying to close the system, are experiencing a high number of vandalization of our assets. The issues pertaining to governance and compliance, these are issues that are currently being attended to by the shareholder. I have highlighted the number of matters that are of high value that are in the litigation space, and those are some of the risks that we have, and some of the contracts that consequently, as them having been declared irregular, we had had to stop, and some of those contracts are in the litigation space. Of course, the reputation that risk that we suffer is when all these issues are in the glare of the media. We, as an organization, take a pounding. We are optimistic, Chair, that the stabilization of the business and putting an optimal structure and the alignment and redesigning of our structure structures currently underway will yield an opportunity of addressing some of the findings and addressing the root cause of the findings that have been made by the AG. The turnaround that is currently underway is focusing on us achieving the core mandate of ensuring that the product that is Metro Rail, and in particular the rail service, is offered in accordance to what the dictates of the Legal Succession Act require. Modernization, this is a long term, and we will have to package communication in this regard that emphasizes that some of these programs that are currently underway, even though they are funded in this MTF, some of them, the delivery will be 2022, particularly the signaling, will only be finished then. And in the interim, there are attendant challenges that we will have, because we are running the system as we are employing and reviewing these projects. Lastly, Chair, on other matters, we have highlighted the issues of our funding structure. We do accept that the CAPEX funding is welcome and received, but attendant to us deploying these projects, we need to maintain them. And the gap between what we receive on CAPEX and what we have to, as a consequence of the additional projects that we are undertaking, they always require maintenance. We are in discussions with Treasury and also our shareholder to ensure that we find a balance in addressing the issues of our funding model. And of course, we are underway to ensure that the issues of engineering, which is more critical in the service that we offer, and the specific skills that are required to ensure that the new trains that are coming and the current trains are run by people that possess the necessary qualifications. These are issues, Chair, that we are currently looking. They will require some funding, but we are working in terms of ensuring that we submit a proper and a detailed business plan to take forward to these issues. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you for the elaborate presentation. Honourable members, you have been listening. You have been carefully listening to the two presentations from the department and from the department entity, which is PRASA. I'm now going to open the floor for honourable members to interrogate the two presentations. Over to you, honourable member. Honourable member. Number one, Honourable Member McLaughlin, two, Honourable Member Sukwanyani, and Honourable Member Sahar, in that order.
Thank you, Chair.
very good morning to our colleagues. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you. Morning, Deputy Minister. Chair, let me apologize for coming in a bit late. There's been a challenge that I was addressing this morning. Let me start off, Chair. Shall we address the Department of Transport separately, or we do that first and that, or are we going to do the whole thing in one and then they just...
No, I think let's just ask
questions.
Then,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of response, then arrange who
responds best. All right, Chair, then I've got about 49 questions. I wanted some clarity on the issue of air service agreements. I really want to know what that is. I don't know if my understanding is correctly. It's agreements that we enter with other airlines and things like that. If that is the case, then I want to know what impact is that having on our own air services in the country itself? Because my understanding is that it is having, some of the agreements that we have entered is having a negative impact, and that is impacting on our very own airlines. That's the first thing. Now, there's a very serious problem which I believe falls under the mandate of the Department of Transport. And that is to do with the issues, and you know, the South African Police Services has a major challenge in terms of being able to curb violence and all other criminal activities in the country. But I believe that the Department of Transport can play a more positive role in assisting in terms of this, because there appears to still be a very large scale of corruption in terms of the licensing departments, the motor vehicle licensing departments, together with the roadworthy centers, together with the motor vehicle scrapyards and things. So I want you to tell us, what are you planning to do about trying to bring this? And this is the root cause of why we have so much of motor vehicle theft in the country, including the issue of car hijackings and things like that, because there's a clear market for it in terms of that. But let us not also forget the issue of yesterday I actually sent some student to go and get a license, and the driving school guy wants to know from me, you want it fair or you want me to make a plan? That was his words to me, a driving school. That's exactly what he said. So it's a normal thing, it's an ongoing thing that continues. And that's having an impact on our roads as well. The other thing is that I want to know, and I know some is not really related to your financial aspect, but there's a major problem in the cities at the moment. If you take the city of Cape Town, if you take Gauteng, in terms of the amount of people or traffic that is flowing into the major cities, and come 20 years from today, I think it's going to be unbearable. What is the plan in terms of the Department of Transport to deal with this issue of the challenges of traffic and the increase of the number of private vehicles that are entering the cities in terms of them? Now, in terms of civil aviation, you say there was 81% spending. I'd like you to just explain to us what were the challenges and what impact does it have if there is underspending in terms of the civil aviation, in terms of the quality of service that we actually provide. Now, what is very, very clear here for me, Chair, is this, and I think we've discussed this before. One thing we are very good at is spending the money. What we get in return for the money we spent is where the challenge is. We're not getting value from it. And I think from all the documents we've had here today, it is quite clear we spent a lot of money, but in terms of its performance, I think we've really performed dismally low. So for me, that is a problem. But what is also important, Chair, that I think a year or more ago, we met with even PRASA. And after identifying some of the challenges, we made a whole lot of recommendations. Clearly, it is now, we could see clear, loud and clear, that none of these things were implemented. Because now we are hearing exactly the same thing we're going to do again, which we never did from over a year ago, and we're still sitting with the problem. In fact, it's gone worse. So I don't know whether that recommendation that we made were thrown into the bin or what happened to it, but clearly it looks like that very little has been done. I've got a specific question about e-natives, and I don't know if that has changed recently. My understanding is that this entire program of this e-natives is owned or entirely managed by a private sector. I want us to elaborate on that and tell us if that is the case, who owns these things, if it is not owned by transport, or whether now the Department of Transport is responsible for that. Because that also opens it to a whole lot of corruption.
Yeah, if you want me to stop there and come back, but the, all right, then just one. Okay. Okay, so just one that I'd like Prasa to tell us. What is the latest in terms of the factory that we went to visit that did not exist over a year or so ago? What is the latest development, the one in Dan or in the Gauteng or in the East? And thank you. I'll come back with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, there's a great deal to be asked, I must say. I just want to start by looking at the top graph on slide 19 of Prasa's presentation, which in effect says it all to me. That graph indicates that the capital subsidy is shrinking way out of proportion. The revenue subsidy is going up while the fair income goes down. Now, this is, you're on a path to disaster if this keeps on. Because eventually, you're going to run out of somebody's money. Because you can't carry on like this, obviously. Unless you turn around your fair income and start being able to fund yourselves, this is just never going to work, is it? You know, when we came to see you, as my colleague just mentioned, I think it was in 2015, we sat in your offices there in Joburg and you told us all sorts of stories about how wonderful things were, and it's subsequently been proved false. As you well know, I don't need to tell you. I just have a major concern. We keep coming back here. We keep appropriating more money to the Department of Transport. The Department of Transport keeps on spending it and wanting more. And yet your performance, as shown on your slides here, is dismal at best. There is so much that just doesn't seem to happen. And there's no real explanation as to why. I mean, we've got from slide 6 to 24, where you tell us about all the things you achieved. But every single one of those things relates to an administrative function. It's all a policy or a plan or a new bill that's being submitted. There's no real work there. It's all administrative stuff. What's happening on the ground? What is happening about actually addressing your core function? That's my concern. Because all the stuff you've achieved is desktop exercises. I don't see that anybody's actually getting out there and going and making sure things happen. Ma'am, yeah, it's a bit difficult because I know we're limited in terms of time and questions and things like this, but if I can just ask a few questions, for example, on slide 4, where we're talking about performance per program per quarter, here you indicate that civil aviation, 100% performance per program. So civil aviation got 100% performance, but there we only spent 81% of the budget, according to the financial figures. So now we've got an underspend on the budget, but 100% performance. Now, normally that's marvelous. You've saved the money, you've achieved your target, but I suspect it's not really the case. That's my concern. Because what you didn't do is you didn't fund the satellite that you were supposed to fund. So how can we have 100% performance then? That's my question, because you say in here that that's what wasn't funded. And yet you're claiming 100% performance, and I wonder why. Maritime transport, public transport. These are both core elements of what you're supposed to do, only 50% performance each. We can't carry on like this. Now, your department is an extremely important department. The economy of this country rests on what you guys do, because you get the people to work and back, and to a large extent. You move the goods around. You've got a huge function to perform. And yet the political will, whatever it might be, just seems to be lacking. I have a few problems as well with the slides where you say the things that weren't achieved. I'll give you a couple of examples on slide number 27. Sorry?
Shall we focus on the presentation?
I am. That's what I'm referring to, ma'am. All I'm meaning by that, ma'am, is that things aren't happening because people aren't focusing on the job at hand. I'm not talking politics. It's just an expression. Political will means that
the will to get something done. On slide 27, ma'am, we say, I see the National Railway Safety Strategy submitted to Cabinet by March 2017. Under progress, it says developed in the previous quarter, so it wasn't here, that happened before. And then there's a need for further research as a result of stakeholder inputs received. Now, when were those stakeholder inputs received? Because surely they would have been received during the process. But you developed the thing in the previous quarter, then for some, this whole quarter we sit and do nothing, apparently. I'm not sure. But there's a need for further research. So it's still not going to be finished here now. It's going to go into the future again. And I guess, as always, research will cost money, so that the expenses of this will just be carried on into the future. And the corrective measure is to expedite the research. Yes, well, clearly, but why hasn't it been expedited already? What's the problem there? Slide 28. Performance indicator, active vehicle testing centers. Annual target, 540 VTSs inspected. Quarter 4 target, 120. Submit progress report to the minister. Progress, 75 VTs were inspected. Clearly you didn't perform. Self-assessment, achieved. What did you achieve? How can you say you achieved it? Well, a little over half of what that quarter's target was. Unless it just wasn't captured correctly, but this is what's in the slide. I'm just going on what's said here. The outstanding reports for March will only be available end of April 2017. Well, that's already long past. Has it been achieved yet or not? Oh, 28. May I carry on, ma'am?
How many questions have you asked? Because I'm allowing you five.
I wasn't counting, ma'am. Look, on slide 29, it's the same issue again. It may just be a mistake, a typographical error, that the word not was not included. It's a possibility. Again, on slide 31, it says achieved, but clearly it wasn't achieved.
So this is the last one.
Oh. I'll stop myself after this one, ma'am. Thank you. Okay. I just wanted to... There was one I particularly wanted to ask you. It was on the percentages that it of expenditure. I don't find the slide. Now, ma'am, let me stop there for now and give someone else a chance. I'll find that slide while I'm listening to others. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the questions. Honorable Member Twabaza?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think my colleague here has actually covered me on some of the things because I was also looking at this first question from page slide 25 onwards, that those reasons for deviation and self-assessment and so on, some of them are quite confusing. So I'll make an example.
I'm checking. Can you hear the questions? Can you please raise your hand or bring the mic closer to your mouth?
Okay, when you say something has not been achieved and then target not met due to delays in internal processes, it doesn't really help us much because we don't know what those internal processes are. It helps to get more clarity on that. But generally, I won't go into all the issues there, but in that particular area there, we would have liked to get a little more flesh in that because, like you were saying, you don't actually feel what exactly has happened there, but you know, the administrative issues, which are important in their own way, but it's quite important for us to see what actually has been performed. I'm trying to choose now which ones I must have got, but 39 to them. And then, I'll tell you later. there is this on slide number 28 where you say the active vehicle testing center will be inspected, but now it says it will only be available in April 2017. I don't know whether it's a misprint or what. If you can just check that, but April has also passed. I'm trying to choose which one. Okay, there's also this issue of the steering committee could not be convened due to requisite quorum not met. I honestly think that when you don't meet a quorum, you can change the date. You can propose another date, can't we? We could have proposed another date so that we are able to do that, because then it doesn't really carry much weight if you couldn't have a quorum on that particular date. It's simply a matter of moving it to another date. Okay, let me move to PRASA and leave the others now for now, because just now I will take too much time if I... with regard to PRASA, or the other thing that maybe I should have just mentioned, Chair, is the issue of expenditure. I'm not moving to PRASA yet. I'm making a mistake. Expenditure. If you spend 100% of a budget and perform 67% of your target, it is a program. And also, if you perform 100%, but you underspend, maybe if you can take us through that, just so that we understand how that happens. And then, CFO, you also mentioned the issue of accruals and invoices. I didn't quite understand really there, I'm going to be honest. I tried to follow, but I did not quite follow what you were saying on the slide 35 about the accruals and the invoices. I know that sometimes the invoices come late, and then you incur accruals at the beginning of the new financial year, or sometimes you would deliver it, not pay the invoices in order to save yourself from unauthorized expenditure, but just so that you can just be clear on what exactly you were saying. I'm the one who didn't quite understand. Okay, in terms of expenditure of the program, on slide 38, there's somewhere where it says delays in other projects on goods and services. Can you just give us a little bit of information of what that means? Then let me leave the other questions and just ask one or two questions under PRASA. I've got so many, but I won't ask all of them. No, just a second, Chair. I'm going to prioritize. So, okay, on slide 11, reasons for non-performance on the APP. On the slide, under AutoPEC, there is that low-capacity buses used in high-capacity routes. My question would be, are there no specifications on the size of buses that people should know beforehand? And perhaps then the next question related to that, what interventions then is the department putting in place? Because I think that's a serious problem, because if people are just using smaller buses and are paid the normal amount, then it may be a problem. This is for PRASA, and then I will try to jump some of them. On the ACSA findings, on this is slide number 16, on irregular expenditure, the majority of your findings are in the supply chain management. Can you just speak to that one for the And in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, this is from locomotives. You may be having it somewhere in the presentation, but I didn't see. Just see if we can get an idea, an indication of around how much are we speaking about. Chair, so I will just stop there. We've got a few other questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For the questions, honourable members, followed by honourable members.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with slide 4.
department here. Okay. If you could, you see, you are reporting on the four quarters. And I suppose you wanted to give us an idea of how you were performing per quarter, but it's not quite clear. For instance, whether, if I give you an example, on administration, first quarter you performed 67%, second quarter 80% of that budget, of that quarter's budget, and 90% of the third quarter budget and 80% of the fourth quarter budget. Or you are actually reporting on the financial year budget. It's not clear. Because one would then, if you are reporting on the financial year budget, the last quarter would give us an overall picture of where you are. You have been at the end of the financial year 2016-17, but it's not quite clear what exactly is it per quarter or is it a complete? Because otherwise, if it is per quarter, it gives the impression that you were overspending throughout every quarter. If it is an overall expenditure over the financial year, then it gives a picture of you only achieving 100% on Program 5, Civil Aviation, and the rest is underspending. So if you could explain that a little better. But if you look on Program 7, it says if it's a quarter, you spend 100% of that quarter's budget and then declined over the other quarter. So that's why I'm saying it's a bit confusing. On slide 25, 30, and 32, you mentioned that the reason for non-achieving is because of internal processes. No, on 20, yes. But you are not explaining what are these internal processes which would have hindered you from achieving those targets. Also, you are not speaking to the time frames as to how you want or how you want to correct that non-achievement. On slide 35, in fact, the whole lot of the shifting of funds from slide 36 that whole part on all those slides that talk about the shifting of funds to other programs, for other things, which is not necessarily wrong, but there are, if you could explain whether those shifts were within the accepted percentage of shifting funds across the program. And in fact, that shifting of funds does create an impression that internal controls are either non-existent or weak, and it raises therefore the question as to what are your internal control structures, your internal audit, your independent audit committee, your risk management committee, and so on and so on. One or two shifts would not have really caused a worry, although it would require an explanation, but that looks like just too much of shifting of funds internally. The chair, how many questions did we allow? On both? Or in the second round. Let me stick with transport for my, what is it, my third question? Yeah. I see you gave KZN more money than you had originally intended. Let me just find that line. 43 years. Your allocation 1.9, but then you transferred 2.2, and then the province spent the amount you had originally intended to allocate to them, which means then that it technically underspent. Please give us an explanation why you allocated why you transferred more money to KZN, which they didn't quite need, because they didn't spend all of it. And Limpopo, you record that you gave them that amount of money. They underspend, but then you say they achieved 100% expenditure. So if you could explain that. My fifth question for this round, is it more? Oh, my arithmetic faced me. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm a member of the Transport Committee. I've just got a few questions to PRASA. Your presentation or your slides on page 13 and 14 are kind of a summary of what needs to be done. And then on page 15, you're kind of giving a time frame, presumably when all these things will take place. What I want to ask is this realistic? Because it sounds great that everything will happen in 36 months, but I don't believe it. Is it realistic? Are these things? I would rather get a realistic picture where you say we need another 10 years or whatever the case is, and then we do everything correctly from the beginning. So I would like you to unpack that, if you don't mind. And my next question is on page 16, where you talk about what needs to be done and so forth. I know that the investigation and so forth, and I know that there was investigations taking place under the previous board. Are the investigations continuing? What is the status of them at the moment? Because I've heard very little since the previous board left. And what is the status? And then my last question, Chair, is I've done some research and I don't see any new board that's been appointed. I may be incorrect.
If that is the case, if you just explain that, and also if the board has not, the new board has not been appointed, why is this the case? Number one, and number two is, how are decisions being made for this entity? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one question. I'm very concerned about the fatalities on the rails, and also not only two sides of the question. What is the financial impact of the damages claims on your operating results? How many million have we had to find for this unnecessary loss of life? And more importantly, what are we going to do to make sure these accidents don't happen? And what are the financial implications specifically? Do you need additional help? Because it doesn't really matter what it costs. We can't have people dying on our rails.
Okay. Thank you for your question. But I would also like to ask just two questions. The public transport network grant is transferred to 13 cities for constructing and operating their integrated public transport network. We know the first phases of the bus rapid transit system are operating at deficits that are significantly higher than anticipated. In some cities, the buses still stand idle. There is yet no buy-in from some of the major stakeholders, including taxi operators. All in all, investments have been made, and any delay presents an economic cost to the country. Kindly outline key interventions in this regard, your corrective measure in this regard. We note the following with concern and would like you to provide reasons for this. Taxi scrapping has overspent. Payments to international organizations has overspent. E-Natis, I don't know whether I'm pronouncing it correctly, had a detrimental impact on the AXA findings for the annual report of 2015-16. This item remains of concern as it has led to an overspend in the road transport program through all quarters. So I think that would be my question. Now we will then allow you to respond to the questions. Now in your responses, you've seen these questions are too, there are many. If you can be short and to the point, I know you will know how to do it. Short and to the point.
Thank you, Chair.
Let me find out. Honourable Deputy Minister, would you like to maybe respond to some questions and then we can allow the acting DG to proceed with the rest of the questions? Okay. Shall we allow the Honourable Deputy Minister?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we just want to respond to a few, particularly the political ones. We have the political with honourable member, and that is why we are here to account as per the constitution that holds us accountable to parliament, politicians, but also to mention that we prepare our presentations as per the invitation. And that is why we cannot go beyond that, but there is so much that we can cover if we are invited and requested to cover anything else. And that is why our presentation covers exactly that which the portfolio or the standing committee requested from us. We are a policy-making department. Our state-owned companies are our implementing arms. So if we were to come and present a full picture on what we are doing in the implementation of policies and implementation of legislation, we might have to come together with our state-owned companies, and that can actually give us the full picture. When you talk about aviation, for instance,
we are policy making, but you have SACA that is a regulator, we have AXA that is responsible for the infrastructure, you have 18S that is responsible for our space. And therefore what is happening in that field, you need to have these here so that we know how we're implementing. So I just want to mention just that point. And therefore we wouldn't go beyond what we are requested to do, but we can answer any question. And therefore I'm explaining that point, so that there is clear understanding that the department is a policy-making department, but of course it's got our implementing state-owned companies. On the issue, on just one question that was asked by Honorable Member on air service agreements, I just want to mention we have a number of freedoms. We have to enter into agreement with any aircraft that enters into our airspace. Some will be your freedom number one, where the aircraft enters our space, but it's not going to land. It's just passing by. We need to know about it. Others will be in agreement where, of course, the aircraft can land for emergency reasons, not for traffic reasons, not taking up any passengers, nor offloading any passengers, but there is something that makes it to land. That will be your freedom two. Your freedom three will be because the aircraft is landing in our country but not taking passengers. It's landing in our country, it's taking passengers to another country, your freedom four. Taking passengers back to the country. Like we're flying to Heathrow, we offload passengers, and we fly back to South Africa with passengers from Heathrow. That will be your freedom number five. We enter into agreement even in that freedom number four. You enter into agreement with that. Or we fly to Heathrow, we offload passengers, we take passengers to Germany, and that will be your freedom number five. So we enter into agreements with anything that flies into our space, because we've got to know and to account for whatever that might happen in our space, whether an aircraft that is landing, if there was to be any air crash happening, as a country will have to account for such, and that is why we have these agreements. But I don't know whether the question wanted to probably say what then would be the impact, for instance, of a situation such as if we grant Freedom 5, for instance, to our own national carrier. That will be, of course, another issue for us to look into. That is it. I just also wanted to respond to the question about the board. We're in the process of appointing a board for PRASA. You remember the boards are approved by cabinet. So we're in the process of doing that. The PFMA is clear on who is accountable in an event where there isn't a board. The CEO or the group CEO in the case of PRASA